This quiet sandy beach in Wisconsin's northernmost village of Cornucopia is left with a few hints of its past. Three gray wooden fishing boats sit in disrepair on the sand dunes, boats that were part of this harbor's fleet of 25 vessels when the Lake Superior fishing industry was at its peak. These days, the cool mornings are disturbed only by a town meeting of seagulls. They're waiting for the lone fishing boat to return for a late breakfast. The 44-foot steel-hulled Courtney Sue is the last of the fishing boats in Cornucopia. Brothers Mark and Cliff Halverson continue a family tradition, bringing in the day's catch.
How was the catch today?
Good enough for what we needed today.
These are lawyers, this is a trout, and the rest are whitefish.
It's been kind of slow this year. It's going to pick up, though, because the water's real cold yet. The fish are still out deep.
With sharpened knives, the Halversons gut the fish so fast that the catch continued to flop about even after filleting.
Been doing it for quite a few years. Takes a while to get used to handling them.
These men are the last of their kind in town. The rest of the fishermen who sailed on boats like the three beached relics have either left Cornucopia, retired, or died. Fishing peaked in 1955. Then it became a casualty of overfishing and the invasion of the sea lamprey, a life-sucking eel with no natural enemy in the Great Lakes. It devastated the fishing industry.
14.
Most days you can find 64-year-old Snooks Johnson and 74-year-old Harold Ellers among a friendly game of cribbage at Corney's Village Inn.
Well, sorry, Harold.
Well, you're going to get better, I know.
I can't get any worse.
Ellers' family has owned the town general store since 1915. He remembers the men and women who made fishing their livelihood from the 1920s till the 50s.
You'd have to say they're very independent people. They just depended on their skill to make a living.
Harold Ellers' store played a critical role, making sure fish got to the market fresh and for good prices.
And their market was mainly in Chicago. So they would, my dad spent most of his noon hour on the phone, which wasn't that great in those days, and selling the fish. And then we'd go down and tag them, put them on a truck, and take them to the railroad station in Ashland. And so they'd get there the next morning.
The old wooden boats now weathering on the beach are just about all that's left of that heritage. Battered letters spell out the eagle, ruby, and twin sisters. Some people in Cornucopia hope to save the old boats from the ravages of Lake Superior. Snooks Johnson's family operated Twin Sisters, and he joined the crew as a teenager in 1955, the last good year.
Yeah, it looks kind of sad, doesn't it, Dad? Yeah, how it got its name, my dad's brother, Baron, had twin daughters, so that's what the Twin Sisters came from. It was a pretty good boat.
Johnson says these homemade wooden boats were plenty seaworthy, with lots of room for fish and a crew of four or five.
But they all rolled, you know, and I had to always get seasick when I was on the thing, because when it was rough weather, you took the fish in and piled them. Well, you pile them up in the bow, so they wouldn't roll too much, because the bow would keep them kind of confined. And then they had a stove that burned coal just for heat. Someone would start cooking, and so you have the engine smells and the coal smells and the half-cooked fish smells. And I spent quite a bit of my time sticking my head out of that gangway right there to chum the fish.
Johnson remembers Tom Jones, the builder of these boats. The oldest boat dates back to 1927. The others were built in 1935 and 1940.
What he would do, he'd make a half a boat, a model. And he'd say, well, this is the way you guys want it, or whoever was building it for, one like this or one like that. And they'd agree on it, and that's how it would turn out. I think he had about a third or fourth grade education, but he was brilliant. Yeah, I don't know. Nobody really knows how to work on them anymore.
When Tom Jones passed away, so did the know-how of restoring these boats. Now protected only by a rope to keep people from climbing on board, these remnants of a more prosperous day slowly decay. A Save the Boats committee was formed, but recently dissolved. This village of 50 people just doesn't have enough resources, says the former co-chair of Save the Boats, Phyllis Johnson. She hopes somebody someday does something for the boats.
It'll be as a result of someone saying, hey, those boats are looking pretty shabby. Aren't you going to, you know, get the young people around and have them work on them or something?
But nothing has happened yet. Not even so much as a coat of paint protects the boats. The sterns and hulls are cracked open. Only one boat has a propeller. Johnson would like to do something, but she's realistic.
In the end, they're going to go back to nature. That they're not going to float again. Never. But as a part of heritage, it's probably better to keep them in as good a shape as we can keep them as long as we can.
Snooks Johnson says as each season takes its toll on the old boats, it's likely preservation isn't in the cards.
I know. I kind of like to see it just the way it is. I mean, the fishing went to hell and so are the boats. So they're kind of following suit. And yeah, they'll still last a long time, I guess, but I don't know. It's a lot of memories.
But there are fewer and fewer people to share those memories remaining in Cornucopia, and fewer people to worry about the fate of the old fishing boats. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Mike Simonson.